Next on BYUSN, 2 days away from BYU hosting TCU. Are we all confident that the Cougars can bounce back against the Horned Frogs after the loss to Texas Tech? Former BYU quarterback Riley Nelson will join the show to discuss the keys for Bear Bachmeyer and the BYU offense to bounce back and get back on track against TCU.
Yesterday was National Signing Day for BYU basketball. We'll introduce BYU's four new signees and discuss what stands out about the 2026 signing class. And BYU basketball director of recruiting Justin Young joins us in studio to break down signing day and preview Saturday's showdown with UConn.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Thursday, November 13th. I am Spencer Linton, alongside everybody's favorite uncle and the number one ranked 1980s video game player in the world, Blaine Fowler.
Oh, let me say this. No one, and I mean no one, can beat me at Donkey Kong or Pac-Man.
What about Frogger?
Frogger I'm not bad at, but Donkey Kong, I'm the master at Donkey Kong.
So. Are you the guy at family reunions, you're throwing the classic video game, and like you get the Pac-Man high score, and everyone's trying to beat Blaine's score?
Yeah, I mean, I even go back to like Pong, which is just the most boring thing in the world. When I was in the dorms, Robbie Bosco, my roommate, the big thing with all the athletes was Rubik's Cubes, Donkey Kong, and Pac-Man. Those were the things. That ages me, I know, but...
Nothing has changed, clearly, at least in some capacity, because video games still matter a lot.
Yes, they
do. To the current BYU athletes. In fact, a couple of nights ago on Preston Rec's birthday, I asked him what his birthday wish was, and he said, well, I want gems for Clash Royale. Like, that's what you want for your birthday.
I don't even know what that is.
You want virtual gems for Clash Royale. Then he pointed out that he is... the hands-down number one ranked Clash Royale player on the BYU football team. Take it from him.
Probably just gems for Clash Royale in Brawl Stars. I'm the best player on this team. By the way, you can quote that. I have the most trophies. I'm the best Clash Royale player.
Gems,
then we're all happy.
Yeah. Gems in Clash Royale. Yeah. Who's the second best player on the team?
All right. Number one, P-Wavy. That's me. Two, Fale Satuala, number 11. He's really good, and Ace Kafusi is good as well. But I am better than all of them, and it's okay. That's just a fact.
We learned a lot in that soundbite. The fact that he is called P-Wavy.
That's new to me. I've known him since he's a little kid, P-Wavy.
Do we need to bring that?
Never called him that before.
Into the forefront.
Yes, we do.
So I'm calling Preston P-Wavy. Hey, Clash Royale. The self-proclaimed number one ranked player. Video games matter. On that note, all rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
I do like the matchup. I like where we're at defensively.
I especially need to make those big plays.
I play defensively.
Play with confidence. Play with swagger.
We're going to have to play our best ball.
Word of the day is confidence, and where does BYU lie on that confidence spectrum as a football team going into TCU? Blaine, straight up, are you confident that BYU can rally, unlike last year, and not have back-to-back losses, and truly bounce back and leave the Texas Tech game as an outlier and win this game against TCU on Saturday?
In one word, and we're going to do more than one word, but the answer is, yes, I'm very confident that they can bounce back. And there are several reasons for that. First of all, let's talk about the offense a little bit and the struggles that they had against Texas Tech. In my mind, first of all, Texas Tech, let's give them credit. That's a very good defense. The top rush defense in the country. In defensive efficiency, they're off the charts, really, really good. But with a lot of self-inflicted things that happen offensively. And I feel like Bear Bachmeyer is going to come back and have a big game because that was an aberration game against a great defense. So BYU compounded the fact that Texas Tech is really good defensively. And if you take a look at, in the season balance, what Bear has done compared to what he did against Texas Tech, passing yards, he's been averaging 211 yards, 188 against Texas Tech. Quarterback rating 148 down to 105. Rushing yards, 49.5, and he's had even bigger games than that, just 12 yards rushing. And that's a telling tale, Spencer.
They made it a clear point, did Texas Tech's defense, to take away the Bear Bachmeyer run game. They were not going to let him do what he usually does. Then you got to find other ways to beat them, and you're talking about self-inflicted wounds. Drop passes, muff punts. We'll get to the special teams situation in just a moment, but it just felt like BYU's offense was stuck in the mud because they couldn't make the single big play to try and create some momentum.
Yes, that's what I want. You've got to make some big plays in a big game. Now, when you have the record that BYU has, every game is a big game. Now, this TCU game is monstrous because you still are in control of your own destiny. This team knows that. And so they have got to go out and on offense, not only do they need to establish the line of scrimmage and play smarter, because as I went back and watched the film, it wasn't that Texas Tech was pushing BYU around. It was that BYU, it seemed like on every play, one or two players missed the blocking assignment. So somebody comes free. They're supposed to go double team. They were hesitant. So a guy plugs it up and the running back has to bounce, or Bear has to bounce. I feel like they're going to knuckle down. They're going to learn from this, and they will be assignment sound. And when they're assignment sound, they can actually run the football decently against the Texas Tech team. They couldn't run it at all, it felt like, in that game.
They had 63 rush yards at halftime. They popped off a little bit in the first quarter, which I thought, okay, maybe BYU can establish the run, but then Texas Tech makes some adjustments. And to your point, it felt like BYU from largely the second quarter on could not do anything in the run game.
I think they will fix that. They will be more assignment sound on offense. They've got to play with some confidence and a little bit of swagger. And this matchup is an interesting one. I think they'll be able to run the ball, but you know what TCU does best? Defensively, they defend the run. You know what they don't do well at all? They're one of the worst teams in the country. Anytime a team is 100-plus in a ranking, you have to think, okay, maybe we should attack that. And they don't defend the pass very well, which is an interesting thing. They throw the ball really well, but they don't defend the pass. That's odd. Usually really good throwing teams get a lot of work in practice defending the throw, but they don't. So I think BYU may throw it a little earlier in this game. They threw the ball 38 times in the last game, but I think earlier in the game plan, they'll get the ball out. I do think they'll be able to run the football against TCU. They're going to clean it up on offense, and that's going to make a difference.
BYU, I would be hard-pressed to believe, will have the notable drops that their talented core of receivers had against Texas Tech, and it wasn't like there were a lot. But JoJo had one that would have been a first down in a critical situation to try, again, just try and create something positive. Get a first down, move the sticks, get BYU onto the other side of the field. They had one trip into the red zone the entire game, and it happened, what, midway through the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
Like, it just stuck in the mud. So I believe that the receivers specifically will bounce back. And maybe you're right. Maybe BYU passes to set up the run.
Which is not what they've done all season long, but this team's strength dictates that, right? I think Bear will get back in form. I think he'll be effective in the run game, especially if you throw the ball and get some success throwing it, and they feel like, wow, we got to get back on our pass drops. We got to defend here. We got to really focus on this. Then you run the ball as a changeup, and I think you have a great opportunity.
When you look at these stats, running the football as a team, did BYU, I said 67 or 63 yards in the first half. BYU ran for 4 yards in the second half against Texas Tech. And I know there's
they were behind, right?
In there. Yeah. Sure, you're trying to break things open and probably relying on the pass a little bit more, but didn't have a rushing score. BYU, 2.5 yards per rush. I believe, like you do, Blaine, that this running game will have opportunities against TCU. Even though TCU's rush defense is good, playing on your home field, being able to rally, being back in Lavelle Edwards Stadium for the first time in almost a month. The last time BYU played a home game was against Utah. Think about that.
Yeah.
That was the last time BYU played a home game. It is so valuable for BYU to come home, feel the energy of the stadium. You block a little harder. You're more assignment sound. You're that much more excited. And you go out and you make some plays.
Yeah. And that guy we were just watching, number four, L.J. Martin.
He'll be better, too.
He's going to be a week healthier.
Yes.
Than he was. He's a little tentative to start, but I think he's healthy this week. Let's talk about this defense, because the defense, in the grand scheme of things against Texas Tech, played extremely well, considering that they had to defend so many short fields with turnovers and special teams. We're going to talk about that in just a second. But you could give them a positive. Like, I think the defense was very much a positive against Texas Tech. But there were a couple of plays in this game that were game-changing plays. And BYU's defense all season long, when they've got behind, it seems like it's the defense that all of a sudden gets a pick six, forces a fumble, gets a critical pick, and gives the offense a short field that turns the trajectory of the game around. And in this game, just a couple of little opportunities to make plays. We're looking at one right there. Evan Johnson in perfect position to make a play. And the receiver comes back and makes a play, and then Evan Johnson runs into Folytow And now the receiver goes all the way down into scoring position, and they score. A couple of big runs where guys were just slight assignment errors. Another opportunity for a pick later. And Texas Tech made some great plays. Their touchdown throw on Trey Alexander
was
a beautiful throw and catch. But I look back at that, and I'm like, just tiny little things. Like Trey reached, he was facing toward the receiver and reached with his right hand, which is his short hand. And if he keeps his right hand down and reaches with his left hand across, he's 6 to 7 inches longer. The ball went over his fingertips by a couple of inches right here. So tiny little things make a difference. And I know they're focused on those things this week. I thought the defense played extremely well. I think they have it in them to play better, because what they're going to do is they're going to force turnovers against this TCU team.
Yeah, fair to give the defense overall against Texas Tech maybe a B or a B-plus grade. And they'll point to the fact they didn't force any big plays, no takeaways.
Right.
And those are the momentum shifters, especially on the road. We're talking about, can BYU bounce back against TCU? Well, Blaine, straight up, do you feel like this defense will create turnovers, something they didn't do against Texas Tech, and bounce back to help BYU win this game, specifically in that category? Like, do you feel like BYU will create more chaos and havoc and create some turnovers?
Yeah, and it, style helps too. Texas Tech is so balanced. Like, they're literally 50% run, 50% pass. TCU threw the ball 50 times in last week's game. So the ball's going to be in the air. When the ball's in the air, there's opportunities to make plays. You can put pressure on the quarterback. You can make Josh Hoover throw the ball in bad spots. This defense is excited to play against a team that's going to throw the ball like this. I think they create multiple turnovers, 2+, and I think BYU wins the turnover margin battle. And if they do, they win this game. Hey, as bad as that game looked, if they're positive in turnover margin instead of -3 against Texas Tech, they have a chance to win that game.
You want to talk about probably the biggest area that BYU needs to bounce back in? It's on special teams. And let's consider one of the worst average starting field position discrepancies I've ever seen in a BYU game. There was 19 yards of differential between BYU and Texas Tech. Specifically, BYU's average starting field position against Tech, their own 23-yard line. Okay, fine, whatever. Own 23. But what about Texas Tech? They averaged, Blaine, starting on their own 42-yard line. How do you beat that team, who is ranked number 6 in the country, on their field when they have everything to play for? In desperation, they already had a conference loss. This was a must-win for Texas Tech. How are you going to beat that team when you are giving up, on average, 19 yards of field position for the entire game? This is an area where BYU can and should, and on their home field, will bounce back. BYU had two bad punts. You had one muff punt by Parker Kingston. I'm going to give Will Farron a pass on the 51-yard field goal, because
that wind was blowing. Swirling. You were there.
It was a weird situation and timing of the game. But still, it's like he probably makes that most of the time. You just could not get anything going. Then Cody Hagan has kind of a weird scenario where the ball bounces in front of him and he decides to take it late and in his end zone, and he was lucky to get out as far as he did, Blaine. It just all hurt BYU's average starting field position. And when you are in a game like that, you can't do it. Can BYU rally with Kelly Papinga, who I'm sure has been in his guys' ears all week, and win the field position battle against TCU?
The reason I say a resounding yes is because what we were talking about, the offense was a bit of an aberration. The special teams was a huge aberration.
And they've been so strong.
They have been unbelievably good. They've made good decisions. They flipped field position in BYU's favor all season long. Cover teams have been good. Punting's been good. Will's been nails, right? They've made good decisions. I just think that's a one-game thing. And maybe the moment was too big for special teams. The win compounded things. They come home, and I feel like special teams is going to be on point, and they're really working on that in this game. I think they will bounce back with a big special teams game that will contribute to positive field position. You can't give anybody that kind. Think about it. Texas Tech worked with nothing but short fields, and BYU worked with nothing but long fields in that game. In a game against a good football team, which, by the way, TCU is a very talented football team after watching them on film, you can't do that. I believe they won't do that. I believe at home, at night, with what they've just learned, they'll be better off.
That all plays into the mentality of where BYU has been in their wheelhouse in that time slot late Saturday night where the Vampire Cougs have feasted. And that plays into general mentality, which might be the most underrated aspect of this all. We've talked a few times this week about BYU having the opportunity to not, after losing the first game of the season, go on the road and take on a ranked team like they did last year when you had to face Arizona State after losing to Kansas. Now BYU, after the setback and the hard lesson against Texas Tech, does get to come back to Provo, first home game in 4 weeks, with that crowd and knowing everything is on the line. BYU is still in the driver's seat, Blaine. There is so much power in that. They know that if they win, beginning with TCU, and can find a way to win the final three, there's nothing that any other team in the Big 12 can do to prevent them from getting to Arlington. They are in the driver's seat. There is great power in that. On the flip side, TCU, had they beaten Iowa State last week, up late, 17-6, on their home field, let it slip away, they're still in position to compete to get to Arlington as well, but they didn't. So what is TCU playing for?
That's
after a tough loss on their home field, having to come on the road. TCU's in a very difficult, precarious position against a BYU team that is absolutely locked in and desperate to win this game.
Yeah, and when we're talking about just what to play for, BYU has everything. There's not a single goal that BYU had at the beginning of the season that's not in reach. Unless they said we need to be undefeated. But I'm not sure any team's that arrogant, right? But their idea was win a conference championship, get to the Big 12 championship game, win the Big 12 championship game, be in a college football playoff. Everything that was on that tote board is still on the tote board. So BYU has everything to play for. TCU, the other thing, every team always says we want to get to a bowl game. That's like the lowest of goals. Well, they're already there. They have 6 wins, right? But now they're kind of out of the race to get to Arlington. They're not going to be in a college football playoff. They're kind of out of a race for a league championship. And the way they lost the game last week were
super deflating.
They were way ahead. They turned the ball over. They were driving down to win the game. They turned it over again. They're coming in without their best running back. It's BYU on the mentality side. If they don't have an edge, then something is wrong with BYU.
So several of the BYU fans interacted with me about the Rootables last week said, oh, man, I want TCU to win this game so that maybe they're ranked coming in. It's a better win for BYU. I said, I don't want that at all.
No,
I want
win.
No wind in the sails for TCU. And losing the game the way that they did, it's going to be hard to generate that wind in Provo.
Yes.
Advantage BYU mentality that way. Okay, our question of the day. On a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you that BYU will bounce back and beat a talented TCU squad? At @CL_living. Oft contributor on this program says, at home, at night, with every final goal still reachable, staying humble and hungry, the confidence scale is at precisely 8.474747, the 47, obviously, for Bear Bockmeyer.
Right. It's 47 repeating.
So, I love it. I love that. Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
Yeah, that is awesome.
National Signing Day happened yesterday for BYU men's basketball and several sports. But speaking specifically about Kevin Young and the basketball squad, they added 4 players to the 2026 recruiting class, starting with the number one ranked JUCO player in the country, KJ Perry, 6'2" guard, Pacific Palisades, California. Played his freshman season at Citrus College, and he averaged 17.5 points a game, Blaine. Shot 50% from the field, 35% from the three-point line. Pretty good free throw shooter as well, and he'll join BYU in December. While he won't play this season, he'll practice with the team and get integrated into that roster. What do you think about KJ Perry?
He is such a great fit. And as you see, he can finish at the rim. Very athletic, great lateral quickness so he can defend. Like, he is a perfect add, not just because he's a highly regarded player and talented, but because the type of basketball Kevin Young wants to play here, the system that he wants, these active guards that can attack the paint but also step back and knock down shots, he is just such a nice fit. This is a great get for BYU.
All right, let's go to the big man, shall we? Abdullah Ahmad, 6'10 center out of Cairo, Egypt, spent the last 2 seasons playing in the G League. This guy caused quite a stir when he decided to go from the G League to playing college basketball about, well, what's ethical? And is this good for college basketball? Can they even do this? Well, now he's a BYU Cougar. And while his numbers weren't off the charts with Westchester, 4 points, 5.5 rebounds, 2 blocks per game last season, the fit for BYU is immaculate, Blaine. He is a plug-and-play guy right now to replace Keba Keita when Keba is done. And of the 3 notable G League players that have transitioned into college basketball, he's the clear best of the 3.
Oh, without question. When you think about Keba Keita's skill set, his ability to protect the rim, his athleticism, his physicality. It's funny, when you look at these two guys, you go stand next to Cabe Akata and you just go, wow, this dude is a specimen.
He's a superhero.
And Abdullah was in last week, and he was in the building here. We were giving him tours. And I went and stood next to him, and I went, this dude is a specimen. Like, I said the same thing. He can jump. He can run the floor. He can defend the rim. Perfect guy to pick up where Cabe leaves off when he graduates.
And I love what Kevin Young said about the idea of the G League player coming back to college. How is that different than several European players leaving their professional leagues and coming to play college basketball?
The only people complaining are the guys that didn't get a G League guy.
Indeed. So. And BYU went down to the wire with Houston to get this guy.
That's
big
right.
Win for BYU. Okay, how about Dean Rickard, 6'8" forward out of Provo, Utah, Tempview High School, 4-star recruit. He picked BYU over Cal, Clemson, Stanford, and TCU. Utah 5A player of the year as a junior, Blaine. 18 points a game, 5 rebounds, really good 3-point shooter, 39%.
Can flat out shoot it. Trevin Nell type accuracy from the outside.
He reminds me a little bit of Lee Kamari.
Yeah, this is a great pickup and such a great cultural fit for BYU. BYU has to get the local guys that are big time players that are getting recruited by everyone, and this is one of those. 5A player of the year as a junior. Yeah, this is a perfect fit for BYU.
And when I say he reminds me of Lee Kamari, that is a genuine compliment, because Lee was a
baller. He was a baller. So let's finish up with Will Openshaw, the 6'10" forward out of Provo, Utah. Again, local guy, Tempview High School. He picked BYU over Stanford, Cal, Utah Valley, Utah 5A, third-team All-State as a junior. He plans to serve a mission and join BYU in the 28-29 season.
Okay. So the only mission-first player here of the four that BYU just signed. So yeah, it's always interesting when you think, okay, what will BYU look like in 2028, 2029? Which players on the current roster will even be around?
Yeah. Again, but he's going to develop, he's going to grow up, but another guy with great length that can run the floor and shoot, which is exactly what Kevin Young's looking
for. If this staff is excited about him, then I trust.
Yeah, I trust
that he is an amazing fit for this BYU squad.
So. TCU versus number 12 BYU broadcast schedule. BYU Sports Nation game day at 8 Eastern on BYU TV. Cougar pregame live at 8 Eastern on BYU Radio. The TCU versus BYU game is set to kick on ESPN at 10:15 Eastern, also on BYU Radio. Postgame coverage begins immediately after the game on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
I hope we're just talking about a ton of carnage through college football all day long.
I can't wait for the carnage.
And then BYU has an opportunity to move up in the rankings with a win over TCU. After the break, former BYU quarterback Riley Nelson, he knows a thing or two about playing against TCU. What are the keys for Bear Bachmeier on the offense to bounce back against the Horned Frogs? This is BYU Sports Nation.
I think we're a way better team than we were 2 years ago. It's going to be a challenge. It'll be fun.
We got to make a strong push towards the end. Work is the remedy for it all. And we believe in our offense and our special teams, and they'll bounce back from it.
You know, we're in a great situation. We control our own destiny. You know, I think it's a good matchup for both teams.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. You know, when we started the show, Blaine, we said Preston Rex is P-Wavy. You might as well just be B-Wavy. You cool
B-Wavy?
With that?
B-Wavy? That's good, because, like, lots of people will call me Uncle B. Like, sometimes I'll, hey, Uncle B, and I'll turn around, and there's like an 85-year-old human being calling me Uncle B. So, you know, B-Wavy might
B-Wavy.
Be B-Wavy. Okay.
I would love for an 85-year-old to call you B-Wavy.
Actually, I'm okay. That would be even better. I'm okay if they call me Uncle B, even if they're 85, by the way.
Indeed. He is Blaine Fowler. I am Spencer Linton. Joining us now is former BYU quarterback Riley Nelson, who understands what BYU-TCU means. Riley, welcome to the program. How are you?
Doing great. I will say, with Gary Patterson having moved on from not that Sonny Dykes is any less formidable, but like Gary had a special hatred for BYU. I don't know that Sonny shares that same level of hatred, but nonetheless, a great rivalry renewed and rekindled.
That's a good point, because Sonny does love Kalani Sitake. There's great mutual respect there, and they like each other's programs. But Gary Patterson, he was a special commodity to this rivalry.
I think even Gary would have been broken down by Kalani. Lonnie's charm and love. You literally cannot find anyone who has anything bad to say about Coach Sitake, no matter how much they might hate, you know, BYU. So anyway.
Yeah, Riley, with this game, and we call it a bounce back game because of what happened down at Texas Tech. How confident are you that BYU can put that one behind them and play at a level to be able to bounce back and beat this TCU team, who's very talented?
One of the things that gives me some confidence that they'll be able to do it is that it's a complete 180 challenge in my book. Like last week, Texas Tech is good in all three phases. Like they're no slouch, but undoubtedly for me, who's watched probably four full games of Texas Tech, that is a defense driven, a defense dominant team. We flipped the coin this week to where TCU, to me, when I watch them, and again, watch full game versus Iowa State, I've probably watched two or three of their full games this season, and to me, the thing that's most threatening about them is their offense and their quarterback, and he's their best player. So it's a lot easier to turn the page on a disappointing loss when the challenge facing you that next week is very different, is diametrically different to it, and that's... So to me, it increases the likelihood, not to mention all of the leadership experience and track record that this team has of bouncing back from tough losses.
Bear Bachmeier took the loss to Texas Tech hard, understandably. And Aaron Roderick said, yeah, it was kind of a situation where he got put in a funk, but we feel like he's going to learn and we've been trying to help him get back. What would you say to Bear Bachmeier if you're his quarterbacks coach to help him get right mentally and understand that he led BYU to an 8-0 start before the loss to Texas Tech?
This may have already happened, and if it hasn't, Blaine, if you could go ahead and facilitate this. One of the most impactful things was having a conversation with Steve Young and him telling me, look, when I went from BYU and playing in the WAC, everyone was open. And then I get in professional football and nobody's open. He goes, that's not that nobody's open, but I had to change my definition. That's what I saw Bear Bachmeier trying to work through. People were still there, but he's now every throw is a tight window throw. Like we're looking at the highlight right there. Against Texas Tech, you're not going to find guys that have no one within 7 yards of them, right? There's another one against Arizona. And he just, and granted, it's the first time he's facing it, right? He's a freshman. It's the first time he's played a defense of that caliber. But over the course of his career, I wouldn't say anything to him. I'd try and get Brother Steve to give him a call and tell him that story about how Steve overcame the ability of like, okay, it's not, I can still make these throws. I just need to mentally be okay with making them. And that means that if a guy's got a defender on his back, if I can see both his numbers, that's open. And I got to put the ball right on his chest, right? All right, there's a inside, you know, there's a hook to curl defender here and a flat defender here, and they're both within a couple yards. But all that means is I have to anticipate and throw accurately within a much tighter window. And just reframing that mentally, I think will help Bear a little bit with his processing, because at times with these tighter windows and tighter coverage, it looked like he looked lost. And I was talking about this with some of my teammates and some BYU fans. I don't think he was lost. Simply, I don't think he'd ever been in a scenario where he has to complete balls in such tight windows and against such tight coverage. He can do it. He's got the arm strength. He's got the accuracy. He just needs to give himself the permission mentally as he's going through his reads to let that thing fly, even though the windows are much tighter. And so that would be, other than that, I liked his game. I liked his competitiveness. I liked his composure. By all accounts, that stadium was absolutely rocking down in Lubbock. He handled it. He didn't look flustered. There was a couple false starts and stuff, but not too many procedural stuff. It looked like he still had command and leadership of the offense. The biggest thing was let that thing fly against tight coverage, man. Trust yourself. Trust your receivers.
Amen to all that, Riley. Like you and I both learned that in the college game, if you're facing man, that the most open the guy's ever going to be is coming right out of his break. So you have to trust his leverage and just get it out and be confident that you can do it. So hopefully he makes that adjustment as he moves on. On the other side of things, BYU has helped him out a lot early as a freshman with the run game. The run game's been so solid, it takes a lot of pressure off, and a lot of the success in the pass game has been in play action. LJ looked a little bit below 100% last week, coming back from the injury the week before the shoulder. And who knows how healthy he's going to be and how full speed he's going to play this week. If he's less than 100% again, what can BYU to help take some pressure off of Bear with a run game?
Yeah, good question. First of all, if he was 85 or 90% against that team, that defensive front and those linebackers are going to make you look like if he was 100%, he would look 85%. Again, guys, like I think obviously Ohio State is the cream of the crop, giving up 6 points a game, like as far as defenses in college football go. But Texas Tech is like right behind him, is a close number two. I sorry to beat a dead horse, but like that defense is so incredibly impressive to me. This BYU team is not facing the same challenge against this TCU defense. So I think that we are going to see an uptick in play from LJ Martin. And let's not forget that we're like LJ is the end byproduct, but he's the byproduct of that offensive line being able to target their blocks and being able to move their guys and create space for their running back. So I think he'll look better this week. Hopefully he's taken one step he's made progression in his step towards full health. So I think that combined with the fact that we're not against his formidable front, it'll look better. But to your point, Blaine, is I hesitate to do this because I don't want to. You guys remember that old toy Wake Up Daddy where you roll the dice and you got to press the alarm clock, and then sometimes I feel like that with how much we run quarterbacks, right? And of course, remembering the Taysom era, it feels like that. So I don't want to be playing a game of Wake Up Daddy with Bears health, but he has, like, draw has probably been one of our most productive run plays on the season. I bet if we did self-scout and charted it. So how can the offense help itself out, and how can Bear help himself out? You know, get that QB run back involved. There was not a lot of it against Texas Tech. And I think that was because early in the game, it got stymied pretty easy and we went away from it. And because that defense was so good. So expect to see some of that. And then I think Preston Rex has earned touches. Maybe not from like, oh, this guy's going to go 70 in any given play, but from the standpoint of like, he's going to keep you ahead of the sticks. He's not going to make blunders or mistakes. And so spreading the run burden across, not so much as heavily on LJ, but putting it on Preston and then maybe a little bit more back on Bear is how I see the offense trying to bring a little bit more balance in this week's attack.
All right, Riley, in the final 60 seconds, why do you feel confident that BYU is different this year than they were last year and won't allow back-to-back losses like they did in 2024?
That's a great phrasing of that question, Spencer, because it assumes I feel more confident. November is tough. And this is, you know, we've had as far like we didn't have the 5-5 years or the 5-7. Sorry, you know, the 5-7 years or the because we looked at TCU Utah having gone in the Pac-12 a decade ago as kind of the model for making the jump from independence into a P4 conference. And obviously we've extremely accelerated that, but no matter what, we saw Utah flounder in this a little bit and TCU, like conference championships are made or broken in November. And so to your point, Spencer, like I'm confident in this team because they can learn from the lessons of last year. They've got so much continuity in both the coaching staff and the senior and upperclassmen leadership on this team that it gives me slight confidence that they can overcome it. But until they do it and prove it to themselves, I still am more hopeful than sure. I am confident, right? I'm hopeful that this team will do it, but you got to do it in November, man. If we're going to reach the goals that we want to reach, and that's conference championships and college football playoffs, you got to make your money in November. And this team has the opportunity to prove it by finishing the rest of these 3 weeks strong. They went 2-2 last November. That means in order to improve on that, they got to win all three left. And that's no tall task, but I think, that's no easy feat. That's a tall task, but I think this team is up for it.
We love the real talk as always, Riley. Great stuff from you. Thanks for hanging out with us. And hopefully we're talking about hopeful things moving forward. Thanks, brother.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure.
Riley Nelson on BYU Sports Nation delivered one of the greatest moments in the BYU-TC rivalry with a high five for the referee.
First time I'd ever seen that in a game.
Yesterday, as we told you, was National Signing Day. Not just for BYU basketball, but soccer, women's basketball, cross country, and more. We'll recap it next in the headlines on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Blaine Fowler. These are today's headlines, sponsored by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere. Start us off, Blaine.
Let's start with signings. Let's start with the football team. They announced their availability report ahead of Saturday's game. Not signing. We'll start with availability. BYU's Anisi Purcell is probable, defensive tackle. He's been out. Questionable Cody Hagan. That's a new one, wide receiver, out. And this is a list that's been consistent. Sione Moa at running back, Tommy Prassis at safety, Matthias Leach at safety, and Marcus McKenzie at cornerback. So not a lot new other than Cody Hagan.
BYU freshman quarterback Barrett Bachmeier, one of 20 QBs named as a semifinalist for the Davey O'Brien Award yesterday. Bachmeier, the lone freshman on the list. He's passed for over 1,800 yards and is responsible for 21 total touchdowns.
Now let's talk about signings.
Yes.
BYU's men's basketball announced their 2026 signing class yesterday as part of National Signing Day. KJ Perry, 6'2" guard from Pacific Palisades, California. He's the number one ranked JUCO player in the country and will join BYU in December. Abdullah Ahmed, a 6'10" center from Cairo, Egypt, who spent the last two seasons playing in the G League. Dean Rickert, a 4-star 6'8" forward from Timpview High School here in Provo. He was the 5A player of the year in Utah last year. And then Will Openshaw, also from Timpview High School here in Provo, planning to serve a mission and join BYU in the 28-29 season.
BYU women's basketball will host Omaha tonight. The Cougars trying to get to 3-0 on their season. Coverage at 9 Eastern on ESPN Plus and BYU Radio. Head coach Lee Kamard announced the signing yesterday of Kennedy Woolston, the 92nd ranked player in the 2026 class. And yes, sister of BYU's Kaylee Woolston. Kennedy plans on joining BYU in 2028 after serving a mission. Kaylee returns from her mission in just a few months.
Women's soccer announced their 2026 signing class. Sophie Williams, a forward from Anthem, Arizona. Sydney Snow, a forward midfielder from Kennesaw, Georgia. Kate Fuller, midfielder from Highland, Utah. Brinley Tolbert, forward from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Anna Neff, a midfielder from Salt Lake City, Utah. And Diana Tulivuka, forward from Oceanside, California.
The signees for BYU cross country and track and field in the 2026 class include from Diljit Taylor's women's program, Lily Bashirs from Rogers, Arkansas, Macy Wingard from Little Elm, Texas, Lily Alder out of Provo, Utah, Addie Guyman representing Emory, Utah, and Hallie Hemeyer from Meridian, Idaho. In Ed Eystone's men's program, Jackson Spencer from Provo, Utah, Malachi Schoner from Eugene, Oregon, Evan Beeler out of Knoxville, Tennessee, Austin Plew from Pleasant Grove, Utah, and Ben Lee from Highlands Ranch, Colorado.
Also signing day for BYU baseball, they announced their signing class. Cole Kilcrease, left-handed pitcher from Ocala, Florida. Maddox Burnett, right-handed pitcher from Erie, Colorado. Caden Hammond, right-handed pitcher from Gilbert, Arizona. You getting a theme here? It's all about pitching. Keaton Nordic, right-handed pitcher from Pleasant Grove, Utah. Jorge Roman, left-handed pitcher from Chandler, Arizona. Trevor Ainsworth, right-handed pitcher from Perlin, Texas. Lots of pitching. Jaden Robinson, outfielder from Antioch, California. Dimitri Williams, outfielder from Oakland, California. Hogan Hawkins, infielder from Las Vegas, Nevada. And Bear, get it?
Yep.
Bear Testerman, infielder from Lakeland, Florida. Now we got a bear in baseball and one in football.
Go.
Austin Torres, infielder from Riverside, California. And Cash Polson, catcher from Lehigh, Utah.
On to BYU softball, announcing their signing class. It begins with Danzy Bradshaw, utility player out of Beaver, Utah. McKenna Chavez is a middle infielder from Boise, Idaho. Carson Norton plays the middle infield out of Gilbert, Arizona. Tariana Kelly is a first baseman from Agoura Hills, California. Tessa Cowsill, catcher, representing Laguna Niguel, California. Then Lotolale Sivas, outfielder from Eastvale, California. Let's go with three more. Eliza Shamrell, an outfielder from Bettendorf, Iowa. Hayden Pilkington, outfielder from Miami, Oklahoma. And Caden Apodaca, right-handed pitcher from Artesia, New Mexico.
From BYU Gymnastics, Madison Snyder signs from Las Vegas, Nevada. Reese Nichols from University Place, Washington. Sophia Friedson from Austin, Texas. And Carly Weinberg from Westerville, Ohio.
Other signees announced across BYU athletics include women's golf signing Tatum Otto from Bellevue, Washington. And men's volleyball signs Ja'Kai Houston from Hendersonville, Tennessee. That is a wealth of brand new BYU athletes, and we wish a warm welcome to all of them. Up next, BYU men's basketball director of recruiting goes one-on-one with Blaine Fowler. He's Justin Young in studio to discuss the 2026 signing class and give a preview of the showdown with UConn. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
Back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. Earlier this morning, Blaine Fowler had a chance to talk with BYU Men's Basketball Director of Recruiting, Justin Young, to break down the class.
All right, Justin, yesterday was signing day, so let's just start right off and talk about these new recruits that have signed.
Yeah.
So it's a big day. Recruiting day or signing day is always a big day. Let's start with KJ Perry and what your thoughts are on KJ. Take us through what each of these guys brings to this program.
Yeah, for sure. KJ, we're super excited about him. He's very athletic, which is something that when you look at our backcourt, we really want to get more athletic in our backcourt to be competitive in the Big 12 on both sides of the ball. So I've known KJ, I've watched him since, I went back in my notes, like 2021, 2022, in like the Phoenix area as a high school guy. Brandon Dunson did a really good job of like bringing him to the table. We looked at his junior college film and thought we want to always stay older for guys that need to play like big minutes in the Big 12. And KJ brings that experience to us. And honestly, like he'll be one of our probably best athletes in the Big 12 right out of the gate. I mean, he's a freak athlete in that sort of that. I don't want to call him John Morant, but I think when people watch him in the highlights, you'll get that flavor of that style of player where he's very downhill, unbelievable rim driver, and defensively the way that he can move and the way how much ground he can cover. Very excited about his versatility. You can play in a lot of different spots in the backcourt too.
You know, Kevin, whenever I talk to him, he always talks about defense and how physical the guards are in this league. And so does he bring that kind of physicality on both sides where he can contribute early? Yeah.
Absolutely, and he's a buy-in guy too. He understands the big picture of what it's all about, and he's the number one junior college player in the country, which is something that's pretty, you know, pretty interesting to think about. We don't think in those terms like we gotta get the number one guy, but his talent certainly warrants that type of accolade, and we're excited to see him plug and play.
Fun. Next is Abdullah Ahmad. What does he bring to the table?
Yeah, big Beto. I mean, listen, we know how important Richie and AJ are for our team. We think about when we're looking at next year's team, how important it is to get replacements of those spots. But Kaba Kata is such an integral part of our team at that five spot that Beto actually fits perfectly for what Kaba is going to be leaving, right? That defensive presence, that shot blocking presence, that big physical presence. And he's an older guy. Obviously, we know about his history playing, you know, in the G League, playing international ball. You know, with this new era, with these new opportunities and these new recruiting lines that we can kind of tap into, Will Voigt brought him to the table right away, and we really, like, took that to the finish line pretty quickly, in a large part because of the type of player that he is and how he can replace what Kaba will be leaving, which is a huge void for us. We think we have a perfect transition with Beto because he's a great rim runner, and just his presence on the defensive end. We had to beat out some really good teams that are very good defensive teams, which really kind of, I think, really kind of points to how good he is on the defensive end of the floor.
Yeah, and he's 6'10", legit 6'10"?
Yeah, probably maybe a little, you know, Kevin has a joke that you always get shorter when you get off the plane.
Exactly right, right.
So I think he might be just a hair under that. Probably depends on when he goes to see the barber that he's 6'10", you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, Cabe is a little under 6'10", sure, you know, sure. He's under 6'9" as well.
And, but he plays 6'10", and that's the thing.
That's
the way that he guards the rim definitely adds like a different size of height. And so now you pair him with a guy like Xavier, you've got two tremendous rim protectors in our rotation.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I met him a couple weeks ago, or last week, in fact, when he was here, and I was very impressed with his he's a big guy that, again, will hold up to the physicality of the Big 12, which is great. Let's go to Dean Rickert, who is a local guy that everybody has talked about.
You know, I've watched Dean since he was a freshman in high school. His first high school coach is a dear friend of mine, Izzy Engel, who's the son of Tony Engel, that you and I have talked about before, that coached here at BYU. And Izzy and Kevin played against each other in college. We've known them forever. So when Izzy had Dean as a freshman, he called me when I was a scouting service guy. I said, hey, there's this young guy. You need to come watch. So it's been fun to watch Dean's progression over the years. And now thinking about the way that we play, the way that Kevin wants to use Dean, it's like the perfect fit for our offense. Big guard, can really stretch the floor with his shooting, a lot of versatility. I think we can see a lot of similarities to how Trevin Nell played for us last year. I think Dean is that type of offensive guy, a little bit more dynamic. I'm very excited about Dean, obviously a local guy that just kept getting better. And he had a tremendous, tremendous summer with Utah prospects on the Nike circuit, which is that's a hard thing to do. The Nike circuit is a tremendous circuit, and Dean was spectacular this year.
And you can never have too many guys that can knock down shots from the outside in this style of offense that Kevin likes to play.
It's our number one thing, yeah.
Very good. Okay, Will Openshaw, he kind of brings this whole group together here.
Well, it's funny, because as much as I watch Dean, obviously Dean and Will were high school teammates and travel ball teammates, and it's been fun to watch Will every year. We always talk about stacking days with our team. That's the same process for high school guys. You just want to stack days. And for big guys, it's a little bit more of a you have a little bit more patience for your curve. And every time I'd see Will, like, man, this guy's actually pretty good. And every time I'd go watch him, he's pretty good, he's pretty good. So he just kept stacking these pretty good days on top of each other. He's gonna go on a mission, get bigger, get stronger, come back a little bit more mature. We're really excited about that process for him, for what he can be for us down the road. But that's also a credit to him, very similar to how we saw last year with a guy that we signed, Chamberlain Burgess, where he just kept getting better and better and better, where it was almost undeniable to the fact that you're like, we gotta really probably consider this guy for what we're all about.
What's special about his skill set?
I think just his tenacity. Will's a pretty tough kid. He runs the floor like how we want to play fast. We need our bigs to be able to run the floor. I think Will will be able to fit into that quite well.
So everybody heard about these because it was on Twitter and everything. Any additions that we might see to this recruiting class?
Well, let's not forget about Brooks Barr. He's coming home from his mission from Germany. I'm excited to see him. Obviously, you're not really sure when a guy gets right back from his mission how he's going to be able to come in and play because the I was 2 years away from the daily grind of being a player. But we're really excited about Brooks. I was really excited about him long before I ever thought BYU was in my future. I always thought he was a top 70, top 60 level player. Highly competitive guy. He's in great shape. We're excited to get him in board and let him and KJ and Rob and all of our guards go after it and compete. But Brooks is a competitive, competitive dude that we're really excited about getting him back from his mission and seeing what he looks like.
So all in all, sounds like a great class. I mean, that's your baby, so that's it's fun and fun to come and talk. But you just told me before we came on the air that like you already turned the page. You forgot that yesterday was
the
signing date.
Well, you're just constantly like in recruiting, you never get to enjoy the moment. You're constantly thinking ahead. And I was like, oh yeah, the light bulb went off. Like I forgot that we actually have to sign these guys, and it was signing day because you're constantly thinking about what the next year looks like. And now that the college season's underway, it's so front of mind.
So let's talk about this team right now.
Yeah.
So three games in, season is underway, as you mentioned. What do you like best about what this team is doing right now?
I like best that we probably haven't played our best. You know, I think there's still like a lot of upside to what this team can be. I think we've seen some good flashes. I think that second half against Delaware was a real sign of like, okay, this is who we are, right? Like that first half was just weird. I don't know any other way to really call it. But I think that response from the guys to really kind of get it back together, seeing Richie shoot the ball, seeing the way Rob and AJ and just our whole team, everybody did what they're capable of doing. So I think that the fact that we haven't really had in totality, like a real version of who we are, I think gets me pretty excited to think about what we can do, you know, moving forward into the rest of this calendar year.
We were thinking back as we were doing the shows to get ready for the game the other night and thinking about teams that have a big three at BYU have always been really good.
Yeah.
And so now we're already talking about this three. You mentioned Richie, AJ, and Rob. Through three games, they're playing spectacularly. What do you like best about the way those three are playing?
I've been thinking about that a lot. I think what I like about those three guys the most, they're all relentless in what they're good at, right? Like AJ and Richie, I would argue, are two of the best guys of getting to, or I'm sorry, AJ and Rob are getting to the rim. They're phenomenal. They're absolutely relentless when they go on to get to the basket. And Richie's just relentless in everything that he does. And so I think that combination of that fire, the way they compete, they're just competitors. It's hard not to bleed into everything else that we do, which kind of raises the bar for everything else. I think defensively, we only played three games, but I think we've seen a dramatic improvement to what we were last year on the defensive end. And I think that has a lot to do with just the relentlessness of the mindset of the guys. And I think that's the kind of the commonality between those three dudes for sure.
Man, when you have your three big guys that set the tone on both ends of the floor, that's exciting.
Yeah.
So let's take a look forward Saturday at number three UConn.
Yeah.
It's not at UConn, allegedly neutral, but it's home for them.
Yeah.
Also home for AJ. What will it take to win that game? And what are you hoping this BYU team comes out of that game learning?
I think just be who we are and stack. And again, I don't want to be so cliche. Just stack what we just did in that second half of Delaware. Lean into that. Obviously, Connecticut's a tremendous team, great coaches. They have an expectation of high-level performance, which I think I'm excited for our guys to see how they respond to that. And honestly, I think our guys are knowing what it's all about. There's not like a wide-eyed, I can't believe we're playing this game. It's like, nah, we're ready. And it's nice to have that March feel before December, you know, hits on the calendar.
It's a big Saturday. We're all excited about it. Justin Young, Director of Recruiting for Men's Basketball. Thanks for spending some time with
Thanks, Blake.
He's worth his weight in gold. Justin Young doing work for BYU on a scale of 1 to 10. As we push to football, how confident are you that the Cougars will bounce back and beat TCU on Saturday? More responses to our question of the day next on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you that BYU is going to bounce back and beat TCU? Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory, from at Gen X BYU fan, says, in the words of the great Terry Tate, TCU will experience a rude, painful surprise. The pain train's coming. Today's Rising Shout Out, presented by Mountain America, official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Let's give a Rising Shout Out to all the athletes in all sports that committed to play for BYU yesterday as part of National Signing Day. Welcome to the BYU family.
Yes, sir. Our thanks to today's guests, Riley Nelson and Justin Young. Sorry to Dennis. For Blaine, I'm Spencer. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Go Cougs, beat TCU.